I like it when it comes up first time. Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you. We're in Revelation, the 16th chapter. Hopefully we'll finish that up and get started in the 17th chapter. In the 16th and 17th chapter, we're seeing here where God's judgment is coming upon Rome, or Roman Empire, the city itself and the Roman Empire, and also its allies and everything that was associated with the Roman Empire. And this is the people that are reading this for the first time or in this period of time. This is really good news for them because they're going through the persecutions, the sufferings, the tribulations. And so when they were reading this, I know it's in the symbolism, but they I'm pretty well sure that they understand it probably a lot better than we do. But they have it, and reading it, they can see that God's judgment will be coming upon Rome, the city itself, and also the empire. And that's what we're talking about here in the 16th chapter, and we'll also talk about in the 17th chapter. Now, we've already talked about this also in the second part of the book when you start chapter 11 or 12. God was talking about the judgment then. Now, he's painting a little bit more detail. We see a bit better picture of what's going to aspire to it, what's going to happen to Rome. And we'll see that Rome is going to come tumbling down hard. As you look at his descriptions of it, you can understand that. Let me tell you, we know about God's love. Well, Rome understands about God's wrath. Let me tell you, he does have a wrath too. And that should be encourage us to try to do his will and obey his laws and his commandments. And what is so interesting to me with this is God is long-suffering, he's patient, and he shows this. But it seems like they just, once they turned their back upon God, they got farther and farther away from him, and got under the power of Satan, the devil. And then when the judgment come, he gave them plenty of time to change and to repent, and they just, you know, blasphemed, cursed him. And that shows you how far and how low these people were. And you look at it, and especially if you study the history about this and read about it, Rome was a very immoral place and city. We've seen other countries since then, too, like that. But let me tell you, once you read about it, you see how horrible and immoral it is, and you see why God's judgment came upon that. We'll start with, I'm going to go back just a few verses here, and then we'll start verse 17. But to get us in our contact with the last bowl, or the last one of the judgments against Rome in the 17th verse. It says in verse 13, "Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs. And they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty." Verse 15. "Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gather the kings together to the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon." All right. One minute. Whoa. I'm missing some things, but that's all right. We'll use memory here. He calls them three impure spirits, and then in verse 14 he says there, he describes them as demonic spirits. And he says these came out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, who's the dragon? Okay. Satan and the devil. And also out of the mouth of the beast. Who's the beast? This is the Roman Empire we're talking about here. The beast. And then out of the mouth of the false prophet. Who's the false prophet?
Caesar.
Huh?
Caesar.
Caesar? What about a little bit more than that? It's the worship of Caesar. Caesar put himself up as a god. And this is really, the false prophet is encompassing all of this. Remember we talked about, he's got about the image of it. So he has his image in different places, because Rome is a huge place. Not only the city, but the empire. So he has temples, he has images, he has priests, and he has all these people, what I call a committee or network, that are promoting the Caesar or emperor worship. He set him up as a god, as a deity. So this is a false prophet. So this is also where one of the impure spirits come out. So you got out of Satan, the Roman Empire, and the false religion of the worship of Caesar. And he says that these are demonic spirits, that they perform signs. Well, these signs are, like Doug had talked about, when Moses put down the staff and turned it into a snake, and, well, the magicians there could do the same thing. These were signs to deceive the world and the people. And they had done a good job with that. And they had been deceived. And then he talked about, it says, and they go out to the kings of the whole world. Now, you know that the empire itself had defeated other countries and empires or nations, and they also had some allies that joined to them. So this is what he's talking. He's getting the all the allies and all the kings of the Roman Empire that are in government. He says now he's gathering them together to do battle. All right, let's go down to verse 16. Then they gathered the kings. This is what I'm talking about. The spirits gathered the kings all together. What are you talking about? Those kings in verse 14. They have gathered them into a place that Hebrews calls Armageddon. And remember what does Armageddon mean? Okay, Mount Megiddo. Okay. And really, there is in the scriptures, there's no place that's called a mount, and there's no location. You see where it talks about the heights and the valleys of it. But this is where significant battle took place in this area here. So when you say this, they understand this is a place where several battles have taken place, and this is where he's talking about here and using the symbolism of the battle, the spiritual battle, or basically the battle of the Roman Empire. But you know what? He tells us in verse 14, the great day of God Almighty. He said, talking about these kings together for this battle. But how does he describe it? The great day of God Almighty. That's the winner. You can put all these people you want to together. You can put all the demons you want to. You can put all Satan, but they're going to lose. Let me tell you, when the Roman Empire falls down, Satan is a big loser. He's defeated. Because where did the power of the Roman Empire get it from? From the dragon. From Satan. He gave him his throne and his power and his authority. And so when they were defeated, now you see why. It's the great day of God Almighty. We look at great empires, and he uses the term, you know, we see here, the Babylon. You use that a lot. We'll be using it again today. The Babylon Empire was great. Nebuchadnezzar was a king almighty, and he tried to go against God, and he lost. The Roman Empire, too, the Caesar says, look, I'm God. I'm just as great as he is. No, you're not. You cannot go against God. You're going to lose. Now, during this particular time, these people, and Rome is seemed like it's prospering, it's doing good. It's a huge empire. It seems like it's winning. But God is telling them the time is coming. The battle is coming, and Rome will fall. The Roman Empire and the Rome city will fall. And that's what's going to happen. All right, any question before we go on? Charles?
Yes, and let's keep in mind that this is primary to the early Christians, the one who had the mark of the Holy, not the mark of the beast. And that's the one reason we have symbolism. They understood it. If it was not done in a way, then it would, for the other, the mark of the beast would understand it and brought more persecution upon them. So God intended for his people to learn and know that it's short-lived what they're going through, you know, and not the others. So the others didn't understand, and we didn't want them to understand because they just, these emperor worshiper was drawn out more punishment for them. So we need to keep that in mind about Revelation to help us understand. People say, why? And you got keep in mind God's intent for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the world's not going to understand this. And they didn't understand this. You can probably well guarantee that the world didn't understand it, especially the Roman Empire. But they had progressed, like I said before, they had progressed so far away from God. You know, any imagination that they had, that's what they did. And man can come up with some horrible things. And you can look at the world today, what's happening with here, and you can see how, because we see it really with our technology and communications, we see it so quickly, so firsthand, how the world is. And you can see the world does not obey God. But he's telling you here that his kingdom will be forever and ever and ever. The Roman Empire is great. The Babylonian was great. The Roman Empire was magnificent. But it will not stand against God's kingdom. It will fall. And you have seen it fall, and we see there is no Roman Empire. Where is Rome today? Nothing. When you see a great empire like Babylon, where are they now? When they go down, they go down. But the church is still here. God's kingdom is still here. And it will be until the end of time. Now, this is not talking, these judgments are not the end of time. This is judgment against Rome, as we're talking about. We're not talking about the end of the world. We're not talking about Armageddon to be the battle. No, there will not be no battle. When God comes, that will be it. This is strictly judgment against Rome. And all of it, how it magnified itself against God so great, but God is humbling it and taking it down. And these people was asking, says, when are you going to revenge us? God told them, he said, it's not time. It will be time. And then when God's time comes, and when he releases his wrath, his revenge upon it, let me tell you, it's hard. It's very hard. And the Roman Empire saw it, how it was. But they were so hard, they still cursed God because of it. Anything else?
Definitely one thing. I'm sorry, I'm just a little quick. I can't talk up loud.
I can hear you.
God operates through the providence of taking care of his people, you know. But one letter. grace is going to come to an end one of these days. And I think God wants us to keep that in mind. In other words, we need to prepare. It doesn't make no difference to me when it comes to the end. We just need to be ready for inspection.
Well, you can see, in particular, we're studying about Rome and the Roman Empire. We see, this is the first century, 200 years, then 300 years, that God was patient. He was with the Roman Empire. He gave them an opportunity to change. God does have patience and endurance and long-suffering. But it comes to an end. And this world's going to come to the end one day. Just like the Roman Empire comes to the end, this world's going to come to the end one day. And here's your lesson. We're seeing God in action. You know, that's one thing good about looking at the Old Testament. You see God in action. And we're seeing God in action now. He's patient, he's suffering, patient and long-suffering. But it comes to a point when it's fulfilled, his long-suffering's no, it's over with. I gave you plenty of opportunity, and you turned your back up on me, and you just, you will not repent. And if you're not going to repent, then the judgment's coming. Well, here's the judgment that's coming upon them. Well, it's going to be similar to that at the end of time, too. This is not the end of time, but this is the wrath of God that's coming upon judgment because of their rebellion and their hardship that they've caused upon His people and rebellion against His laws and His commandments. And let me tell you, it's a mighty tough wrath. And if you begin to see and study about this thing, it was very hard upon them. You had calamities, and you had these people coming in, and these people coming in are not nice people. These are not Christians that's coming in. These barbarians are coming in. They're ruthless. But this is God's judgment. Anything else? Rose?
Well, there's a warning to watch, to be ready. He still doesn't want his those that have his mark written on their foreheads to not be prepared and be ready no matter what.
Well, here's the what we skipped was 15. Here we go back. It says, look, I come like a thief. Have we not seen that before? What does the thief do? He comes when you're not expecting him. That's what a thief does. He knows you're not prepared for it. Set up. And he said, I come like a thief. And then he says what? Blessed is the ones who stay awake and remain clothed. Why? So as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Blessed are those that stay awake. Those that what? Are watching. He may not come in our lifetime. I don't know when he's coming. But he may come in our lifetime. Nobody knows. But the same token is, we need to be ready. Not only for the Lord coming, but to fight to Satan. We need to be ready. We need to be clothed. Let me tell you, Satan knew he couldn't go against God, but he knows he can go against his children. How do you think he won the Roman Empire over? By deceiving them, lies, trickery. Don't let us fall before that. And I think with Matthew, God, Jesus warns them that there's some of the elect's going to be fallen. They're going to be enticed by that. You know what he's telling you? Now you just be on watch. Not only for myself coming, but also for Satan coming. Be on the watch. Be ready. There's temptations out there all the time. Be on guard against them. Don't let it happen to you like what it did to Rome.
Satan brings about new stuff. I mean, we're saying, well, he just stated the old. No, he brings about new stuff in general. Like right now, we're in this gender gap thing, you don't even know which bathroom to go to. Some of the things that comes up in our society, I never dreamed about we would have to deal with, but we do. So what
We have to be watching. Go ahead.
It's the parable of the expectant steward. It's Luke chapter 12, 35 to 40. I mean, it's almost, it ends with, you should be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Of course, he's talking about a second coming, but
right.
Still throughout that parable, he's saying, be ready, be ready, be ready.
That's right. Admonition, be ready. All right, let's go ahead. Now, let's finish up the last part here of the Revelation, the 16th chapter. Starting with verse 17, it said, all right, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people. And they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. All right. This completes the natural elements. We've seen the bowls upon earth, the water, the sun, which would be the fire, and now the air, okay? Now, one of the things I think is key to us is Ephesians 2:2, where Satan referred to as the prince of the power of the air. For the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. And also in other places he's referred to as prince of this world. The God of this world. So air would be a appropriate emblem of the prevailing influence or surroundings of the realm in which the wicked live, move, breathe, being dominated by the devil. If the devil, Satan, is the prince of the air, the God of the world, the prince of the world, what think environment then is the world in? It's evil. You think about that. What would devil want be surrounded by? Does he want good people around him? No, those are the ones he wants to deceive. Look at it right around. If you're the father of lies and deception, what do you think he's going to be around you about? That's what, if he is the prince of the world, the God of the world, and the prince of the air, then that's how it's going to be, his surroundings. That's what it is. But I tell you what, he says, Satan, remember this, Satan will not escape judgment. You think about it, I told you about it earlier, when Rome fell, he suffered a great defeat and setback. You think about that. He had Roman Empire. That was his. And he gave it all the power and authority, and let me tell you, it ran with it. It was so immoral. We've been talking about the city itself and also the empire itself, so corrupt. That was his. That's his empire. And you see what it was like. You see why the Christians had a hard time to live in that place. Where they had a hard time just to economically make a living. Because look at the environment that was around them. And don't you think Satan was defeated when Rome fell? That was his. Now it's gone. Nothing, Charles.
Gomorrah was Satan's too. God took care of it.
And how did he take care of it? You saw that. See, that's the wrath of it, how he comes when the judgment does come upon him. It's hard. And it says, out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne. Well, this here, from the temple and on the throne, it's going to be your God or Christ. And like Doug said, I think it's Christ too. That's the thing. But it's divine. And that's why he said, it is done. And, you know, as if I would always try to look at myself in their particular predicament, if they're reading it, I'm trying to understand from them, from those people back there in the first century. And you hear that, it is done. And I look at the Roman Empire and see, you know, how it's standing and how it's magnificent thing. But I know that it's coming down. You look at, and then you wonder, how can a nation like this collapse? God. God's the answer. He said, I will take care of my children. I will do the revenge. Don't you worry about the revenge. I will take care of it. And it was mighty itself. But then he describes it on in verse 18. He talks about it. Now, in chapter 11, we had this with the seven trumpets. These same four. And now, the seven bowls of the seven plagues are brought to a collision with the same four elements, with an added intensity, for the earthquake, a great earthquake, and the hail is a great hail. Okay? We have already described or been through that in chapter 11, but now he's giving a little bit more, I said, a little bit more detail. He's filling in more of the picture thing. When Rome came down, you know, of course, now Italy's had a severe earthquake. You know how death-making that is. And so when you imagine that, you can see that. And he says, now when Rome comes down, when the empire comes down, it's going to be a severe earthquake. And it's going to be like nothing has ever been like it before because of the great Roman Empire. It's going to be so devastating. It's going to be severe. And then when we get down to the 21, we talk about the hailstone, how that was. So he's describing it now. See, Rome is great, but its downfall is going to be tremendous. And it's going to be at the hand of God. Then he called by, said, the great city split. Now, if you look in Ezekiel 5 and verse 2 following, in the prophecy of Jerusalem destruction, Ezekiel has said that a third part should be burned, and the third part devoted to the sword, and the third part scattered to the wind. This indicates what? Other destruction. It's gone. No, three-thirds, it's gone. And it's gone by three different ways. And that says, you know, it's not only Rome fall, but it says, and the cities of the nations collapse. Those kingdoms that surround them, that gave them protection and that they also had conquered and keep everything, they're all going to be fall down. The allies, too, for Rome, the Roman Empire. It's all going to collapse. And you just try to understand how great this fall is going to be. When you talk about the Roman Empire, how great it was, and it is going to be a great. Then it says, gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of the wrath. And God has promised he will give this cup to the worshipers of the beast and his image. Chapter 14, verse 10. So now he gives to Rome. You're seeing now the fury of the wrath of God. As I said, you're seeing God in action. He said, this is what's going to happen. And you can see it's going to happen and it will happen. And it's going to be great. It's going to come down. Then he continues on in verse 20. It's mountains and islands are symbolizing governments. you should find in Isaiah and Ezekiel. They are all gone. None of the former Roman governments with the allies remains in power. It says every island fled away and the mountains could not be found. The other government, I mean, this is complete collapse here. And when you imagine, you know, like we talk about, if you look and see how something that could be that magnificent, and people wonder, well, how did the Roman Empire fall down? But you look at the, you know, say if you're a World War II guy, if you look at the Germans and how they progressed and how they did, you wonder, say, well, how could they ever, they were, that Blitzkrieg, how they overran everybody, how could anybody go up against them? You look at other nations today that have fallen. And you say, well, look at Russia, what it used to be years ago. Well, it's gone. Sniffer. Now it's coming back, but what? What's the difference? You're seeing how this can happen. And God is telling you, yes, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen because of my authority, my wrath and fury. I will take care, I will do my revenge upon my people. That their wickedness has come now to fruition, it is full. Now is the time. Then he's talking about from the sky, a huge hailstone, each weighing 100 pounds. Can you imagine a hailstone weighing 100 pounds? That's your visualization here. Now, if you're talking about destruction, it says, hail is the symbol of divine wrath and judgment. You find that in Exodus and then in Psalm. Falling from the sky. From the sky. It's divine judgment. It's divine wrath. And it says, I will make sure that Rome's... And here's your thing. Here's your imagination. Can you imagine about a hailstone weighing 100 pounds? Now that's a pretty, pretty big hailstone. Rose? You know what baseball, softball, you know what little golf balls do. We've been through a hailstorm, but not of that magnitude. So you can imagine what he when he tells them there, it goes back again to these up here in verse 18 where these what's going to happen, these flashes of lightning, rumbles, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake like it's never before. He is showing them the magnitude of his wrath against the Roman Empire. And it's going to be severe. Very severe. And as I've, like I said, I look at this and I'm reading this and I think about my friends or my loved ones that have perished and died because of the Roman Empire. Or I'm living in poverty, I'm having a hard time myself feeding my kids because of the government, because of the Roman Empire, because I will not bow down to Caesar, I can't do this or that. And I see here now that God is going to take revenge. In other words, he says, let me take care of it for you. You stay true to me. You stay faithful to me, I will reward you. I will take care of them. Let me do the revenge and not you. Because my revenge upon them will be so great, it's going to be like a hailstone from the sky that weighs 100 pounds on them. And it's going to fall on the people. Now here's the thing. And these people, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail because the plague was so terrible. They cursed him. They had got so far away that they could not imagine that this was judgment upon them. This was righteous judgment because of your great sin. They couldn't understand that. They were so foregone. They've been being so full of the lies and deceits of Satan that they couldn't understand what righteousness is. And we had already talked about this is righteous judgment upon Rome for what it did to his people. And they curse him because of this. That shows you God's righteous judgment. They were not willing to repent. They didn't want to repent. They want to curse God for their sinful action. It's not me. It's you, God. That's what they feel like. Why are you doing this to me? They cursed him. Anything else? All right. Larry tells me it's time. We'll do start chapter 17 Wednesday evening. Excuse me. We'll get it right here in a minute.